my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 71 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. We are talking Hall of Fame and WrestleMania. I have Chad on the line, who is starting the Geek Week festivities a little early. Chad, you were in the Great White North. Your blogs are on the my123cents.com page. You are traveling, making your way slowly but surely towards Texas, though, right?
Yeah, I have taken this road to WrestleMania literally. And spent a couple days up, as you said, north of the border in Ottawa and Montreal. And then 2 days ago, or I guess it was yesterday, as we record this on Wednesday, I was in Lake Placid, New York, at the site of the Miracle on Ice, which is quite fascinating. And I've been in Albany and Utica. And as we record this, I'm actually sitting in the parking lot of the Eastman, the George Eastman Museum in Rochester, New York, which is a museum dedicated to the history of photography.
Cool.
So, yeah, and then from here we're going up to Niagara Falls, and we'll end the week in Buffalo before I fly down to San Antonio for a couple of days. And then at some point, you and I will reconvene together in Dallas.
That's right, and we are recording this show a couple days earlier than we normally do because of Chad's travel schedule and my schedule at work and whatnot. So, happy Easter to those of you who do celebrate Easter. Hope you had a great holiday. But we are talking about, as I mentioned, the Hall of Fame and the road to WrestleMania. And I think the Hall of Fame is all officially now locked into place. The only thing missing, I think, so far is an announcement about the Warrior Award. So,
have they announced a celebrity?
What's that?
Have they announced
a celebrity? Oh, no, they haven't. I guess they haven't.
Yeah, because there's been a couple rumors floating back and forth about who it's going to be.
I'm guessing that as people are listening to this on Monday, on Raw Monday, or probably during the day Monday, as they have been doing, a name will be texted out and released on that. So,
yeah.
I would say overall, notwithstanding the celebrity announcement, which to me doesn't make or break anything for me, I'm overall pleased with this Hall of Fame class compared to, and I don't want to get into a who's worthy, who's not worthy discussion necessarily, but you know, compared to last year's class, I like all the names going in this year.
Yeah, I think this is the first year that I can think of where there hasn't been a lot of, I guess, internet complaining about the Hall of Fame. And maybe it's just because Macho Man Randy Savage is finally in, so no one has anybody else that they, you know, feel needs to be in there and will complain incessantly about being in. But yeah, I think overall this is a strong crowd, a strong batch of inductees. I do think there's probably one or two names too many, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's two names that you can probably maybe, if you want to critique the selection process, you can critique, but I don't think there's anybody who doesn't deserve to be in there to an extent.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing the names down. I don't have it pulled up on the internet. I've got Sting as kind of your main eventer, the posthumous Big Boss Man, Jacqueline is the Diva, the Freebirds would be your tag team, Stan Hansen, and the Godfather. Am I missing someone?
I believe that's all.
Six. And then, of course, there'll be a celebrity and then probably the Warrior Award as well. I would say my biggest complaint, and I was talking to you about this the other day, and I guess I'm being petty and not thinking like WWE thinks, which is in the now. My biggest disappointment with the Hall of Fame this year is the fact that it's the New Day inducting the Fabulous Freebirds and not Kevin Von Erich, which I think part of it that bums me out about it is it takes away any – there was – I was holding out hope that maybe Ross and Marshall Von Erich would be doing something with NXT on Friday since it is in Dallas, and of course that's Von Erich country, and there was talk that even Terry Gordy's son would be involved with something as well, and they would do some sort of storyline or you know, program, whatever you want to call it. I get why New Day is doing it, you know, but as an old school fan, I am disappointed that Kevin Von Erich isn't inducting the Freebirds as Michael Hayes inducted the Von Erich family back in 2009.
Yeah, it's a strange selection, although they have been, you know, mentioning kind of on a weekly basis how New Day has been using the Freebird rule. So it makes, I guess, sense in that regard. I also think it's a curious choice, given Michael Hayes' history with the company, and I don't want to go into too much backstage incidents, but you can Google Michael Hayes suspension and kind of see what I'm hinting at if you really care.
But with him being, I mean, he's still in good standing. I mean, he's still, isn't he the head writer on SmackDown?
He's still in good standing, but his some of his comments from the past have mm-hmm. not been would not make you think that a New Day induction was necessarily a
okay.
I'm picking up
what you're putting down now.
And the stance of New Day, it may not be a positive thing.
And maybe that is part of the strategy here is the public relations portion of this, because it is after all a business. And yeah. You know, I do recall specifically, I listened to Michael Hayes' interview with Ric Flair on Flair's podcast, and they brought up the Confederate flag because the Freebirds, the Confederate flag was a major part of their attire. And Michael Hayes said that there will be no sight of the Confederate flag in their attire or anything else related to the Confederate flag as they do.
Maybe not in their attire.
But Chad, on the other hand, he might. But yeah, I mean, I had seen a little bit of scoffing at the Godfather going in. And, you know, again, it is a wrestling, it is a WWE Sports Entertainment Hall of Fame. You know, I don't know how you decide who goes in and who doesn't go in. I mean, the Godfather to me was a great character, especially during the Attitude Era. I liked him as Papa Shango as well, you know, before that. And so, I mean, he definitely contributed a lot. He won a couple of championships while he was around, and you know, he did things before and since his tenure in WWE. So I have no problem, like I said, with any of the men or women being inducted this year.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the Godfather, my quibble, I guess, would be inducting characters over persons. But then, do you want to break kayfabe? But at the same time, are we going to get, and probably not in the case of Godfather, but are we going to get Papa Shango and Kama Mustafa inducted as well? It's kind of like when they inducted Diesel instead of Kevin Nash, or Razor Ramon instead of Scott Hall. Or
well, actually, I think they
did Kevin Nash.
Yeah, I think they did Kevin as Kevin Nash, but Razor or Scott Hall was Razor Ramon, and that's an interesting point too.
So is it that way of doing it, so that because they're running out of marquee names, is it this way that they can then bring the person back for another induction? Which I mean, right now Ric Flair is the only two-time inductee, mm-hmm. but it makes sense because he's in as Ric Flair and as part of the Four Horsemen.
Yeah,
and I could see Nash and Hall, for example, being part of the NWO.
Right,
but I don't want to see Diamond Stud or Gator Scott Hall, or you know, factions are different than personalities.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't know that they would ever go that route. We've talked before about the sizes of the class, and not only just because it's a lot going in, but then this year we are, as we mentioned, heading back, so we will be sitting through the ceremony. And of course, you know, I would imagine with the Freebirds, you know, four guys are going in, and I know that Terry and, you know, Buddy Roberts are no longer with us, but their sons will be accepting on their behalves. And then I would imagine they'll each talk, and then Michael Hayes will talk, and Jimmy Darvin will talk. And I hope Precious is there too. I don't know if they're still married or not, but so, you know, it will make for a long evening, I think, but it's always, as long as fans kind of stay in check, it's always a fun night to me, at least.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think a 3-hour ceremony is probably the longest that you want it to run. I think a 2-hour ceremony would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because it is – it's a lot of talking and little action. So it's something that you don't – there's not a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or there's not like – you're not going to go out and kind of roam the concourse or go to the bathroom. I mean, I can see people actually using Stan Hansen, unfortunately, as like a bathroom break just because he's the least – familiar to WWE audiences, where they actually say the WWE universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my assumption, that the crowd there is going to be mostly current day fans or families. I don't know what percentage of long term, i.e. people who have been watching wrestling for over 25 years. No.
Yeah.
And it's not like saying, hey, they, you know, other than his Hall of Fame announcement, it's not like WWE has done anything with Stan Hansen in the last, you know, 2 to 3 years to make fans aware of him.
Right. I mean, other than inducting Antonio Inoki, I don't think that he's been on WWE TV, has he?
I don't think so. And even that...
That was several years ago.
Yeah, he wasn't actually on you know, that was before the network, so
mm-hmm.
How many people have even seen his induction... How many people that weren't at that ceremony have actually seen his induction? Because I don't think it was on the special that aired.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it wasn't.
So, yeah, so those are the type of things where hopefully the fans will be respectful. And with Vader inducting him, at least that's a name that most fans should know.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that will carry some weight. I was kind of disappointed because there were rumors that Vader was going to be inducted. I was hoping he would be inducted and Ethan Suplee would get to induct him. Maybe next year.
There's always next year. There's always next year. But it is great to me that Sting is going in. You know, a long time holdout from the WWE. He will become the first, I believe. Yeah, the first TNA and WWE Hall of Famer. So for what that's worth, I don't know if it's worth much.
And I'm curious to hear that one because I was at Sting's TNA Hall of Fame induction, which was a very passionate night. You know, you had Lex Luger speak, you had Kurt Angle speak, Dixie Carter, and I really, at the time, I questioned why TNA was doing it, because it didn't make a lot of sense for a company that had only been around for 10 years and who had were inducting a guy who was still part of the roster. But after that night, it totally made sense that without Sting, TNA probably would not have been around. And then, you know, TNA critics can dissect that comment however way you want to, but it made sense at that point. So now I'm curious, now with just Sting and with Ric Flair inducting him, what the atmosphere is going to be like, especially in the wake of all the rumors that Sting could possibly be announcing his retirement during the ceremony. I definitely think Sting going in is well deserved, and unfortunately, I wish his WWE career would have went a different way.
Yeah, I mean, he's one that I wish would have come over in 2001 when Vince bought WCW out, or you know, even soon after that, and been a part of that next wave that came through. And unfortunately, it does appear that his career, his wrestling career at least, is over. But, you know, we got a few good matches out of him. And I'm trying to think. I don't know that I've seen Sting wrestle live since, I'm dating myself here, I think it was at Starrcade 90 when he wrestled the Black Scorpion in the cage match in St. Louis. Because I didn't go to a lot of WCW events. I don't think I went to any other than a Thunder, and I don't think he worked that show. So, yeah, unfortunately, it's been a while since I've seen Sting actually wrestle, but I'm looking forward to hearing his speech. And, of course, Ric Flair is always very passionate and emotional. So,
yeah, I say, are we going to start an over-under on how many minutes into Flair's induction speech before he starts crying?
Or bleeding.
Or bleeding. Or elbow dropping.
Yeah, no, I think he will probably get emotional. And Sunday at WrestleMania, and we'll transition into that discussion here too, I think he will be emotional as well. I know he's very proud of Charlotte. Is there anything else on Hall of Fame you want to mention? What are your thoughts? Let me ask you this about Jacqueline. I don't think we really talked much about her. I mentioned on last week's show, I thought she was the first female to break Pro Wrestling Illustrated's top 500 way back when. I think this was probably 91, 92, 93, somewhere in that era. I always liked her, you know, when she wrestled as Miss Texas, but then also coming into to WWE and the feud she had with Sable.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of her career because the WWE stuff, I don't think, thinking back, I don't think I was too high on, but then I'm trying to remember if she went to WCW after WWF. In the Attitude Era?
I don't think she did. I feel like she stayed.
Did she?
In WWE. Or
maybe she was in WCW before jumping to WWE. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I can't. Now that you bring that up, I'm not sure myself. But I remember sometime after the buyout that she won the Cruiserweight title. She beat Chavo Classic for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's not someone that. If I made a list of my top 10 divas, would probably be on there. And it's not to slight her. It's just there was something about, I think, the way she was presented a lot of the times that didn't really gel with me.
Yeah.
But I think she is very deserving of the Hall of Fame. I don't think it's I don't think it's like trying to scrape the bottom of the barrel to be like, oh, which divas can we throw in here? I think it's very fitting. I'm curious to see who's going to induct her. I haven't seen, I don't know if you know.
I have not seen information on that. Anything about that.
You know, because I, on one hand, I would think Terry might, or Marlena, or whatever. I get Terry, because they were the PMS. And I'm trying to think of who else she managed in, or was associated with.
Mark Marrow. She did go to, I'm looking her up right now. She did go to WCW for a year, in 97 to 98 and then came back.
Okay.
Or I'm sorry. She was in WWE through the USWA stuff, early on, in the early 90s. But not known as Jackie. She came into WWF in 98, and then did the stuff with Sable and then, the Pretty Mean Sisters. And then, so yeah, she started off in WCW. She didn't leave and go to WCW.
Okay.
And then did a handful of other things with Trish and Lita. She was kind of phasing out as Trish and Lita and Victoria
were
kind of taking the new wave of divas. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And I think she also managed Beer Money for a while, didn't she, in TNA?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Like, she was in TNA for a while.
Yeah, she was in TNA.
I guess I'm going to have to go back and research the career of Jacqueline before the Hall of Fame ceremony. I think I'm curious to hear her speech. Hopefully she won't pull a Lita, but I think she's good. I'm trying to think of all the other inductees, and I think that's really this year the inductees are the more questionable aspects of the Hall of Fame than the actual inductees. Or the inductors are the questionable factor, not the inductees.
Yeah, and since you brought that up too, let's talk real quick about Triple H inducting the Big Boss Man. I thought was an odd choice.
Yeah, and there may be some connection there that will come out during Triple H's speech. My fear is not for Triple H speaking. My fear is not so much with the Hall of Fame as it's going to be what is the crowd reaction going to be, given the fact that Triple H is facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why, and this is just my personal preference, I prefer, inductors, if that's a word, to not be current superstars.
Yeah.
I always liked the idea of a Hall of Famer inducting the new Hall of Famer, but I know that that's not always, you can't always draw the line or draw the connections or whatever. Yeah. So I get it. But yeah, I thought that was kind of weird that Triple H was doing that. But then it's like, you know, thinking back, unless you brought back somebody like Slick or One Man Gang, I mean, who else?
Yeah, I was
Jim Cornette,
like Jim
but
Cornette.
I mean, there's obviously.
Yeah, Cornette. I mean, Dusty Rhodes would have been the most obvious because he's the one who took a shine to jobber Ray Traylor and transitioned him into Big Bubba, which kind of set him off. But yeah, I don't know who else. Yeah, you would bring in Hogan. You know, you can bring Hogan back now. Everything's cool.
I'm a millionaire,
Hogan will
brother.
Hogan will pay you to be part of the show. I don't know. Triple H is inducting Boss Man, which is kind of – I mean, as I said, there might be a story there, that a connection that I'm not aware of. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm trying to think. Ric Flair, I believe, is inducting Sting.
Yeah,
which
it's
makes
Flair
sense.
And Sting.
Yeah. New Day with the Freebirds.
Vader and Hanson.
Vader with Hanson.
I don't think they've announced Godfather, have they?
Godfather. Yeah, I haven't seen anything on that one. So
maybe Papa Shango. That would be pretty cool.
And unfortunately, Warrior's not there to
spew.
Yeah.
Well, let's transition into WrestleMania.
All right.
And I'm going to start off. I'm going to put you on the spot. There are three headliner matches, if you will, or that I'm calling headliner matches. And speaking of WrestleMania, I want to plug to the MVPs of WrestleMania blogs that we have going on for 10 days over at my123cents.com. We've been sharing those each day with Chad's picked one. I've picked one. And we've had a couple that have matched up on the same day, and we've had some that have matched up throughout the list. But what do you think the main event should be for WrestleMania 32, WrestleMania Star?
Personal preference or storyline preference?
Either one, however you want to.
Personal preference, I think it should be Triple H and Roman Reigns, just because I am hoping beyond hope that that roof of that building gets blown off with all the boo birds that are going to be there, and just the crowd completely Brock Lesnar-ing, Goldberg-ing that match. That is my hope. But I think storyline-wise, unless you're going to do something later to play off of it, it should be Shane and Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. If you're fighting for control of the company, if Shane wins control and then doesn't somehow ensure Roman Reigns is his champion and has to deal with Triple H as champion when his goal of getting the championship is to get Triple H and Stephanie out, then what's the point of him winning the title? And I realize it's episodic television. You can find out more on Monday Night Raw, tune in there. But it just seems like if Shane wins Hell in a Cell, and then you don't see or hear from him for the rest of the show, to me, that's going to be the continuing of poor storytelling, which is plaguing WWE right now.
Yeah, and that you bring up a good point, because to me, I always viewed, and I don't think WWE necessarily does, but I always viewed WrestleMania as kind of the season finale, and then that next night on Raw is the season premiere of what, you know, because new things, you know, stories are drawn up or whatever. Now, what do you make of the whole Undertaker Shane McMahon? Because to me, I almost feel like
what do I make of it? I make of it of we have nothing to do. Let's throw something together and not even think about what we're putting out there.
Well, but here's my point to that. You know, Undertaker, if he doesn't win, or if, did he say if he doesn't win or if he gives the match to Shane, then he won't wrestle at WrestleMania anymore?
I think he said if he doesn't win.
Okay. So to me, I don't see how you have Undertaker lose. I mean, Undertaker is WrestleMania, and
here's the thing. Vince said if Taker doesn't win, he doesn't wrestle at WrestleMania. If Shane wins, why can't Shane then say, oh, Taker, you can wrestle back at WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of it that way. That makes sense. Okay.
Well, you'd make a great WWE creative member.
I guess I was stressing out over nothing. That does make sense.
Although I guess the opposite of that is Shane only wants control of Raw. So does that mean he doesn't have control of the pay-per-views and can't dictate who gets to be on them? Like, it's such a convoluted story that makes no sense, because they've actually, you know, they haven't played up Shane's wanting control of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been like Vince being like, my son's going to bleed and I have no son. And Taker's like, I do what I do. My legacy is my fists. And Shane's like, oh, watch me dance. Watch me dance, boy. And it's like, what the hell's going on here? Like,
you just summed up 3 weeks of storyline in about 14 seconds. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yes, if I could do animation, it would be great. A YouTube channel.
So, okay, so I think we're both pretty much on the same page with the Hell in a Cell match. The championship match, you know, people are going to poop on it. It's a family show, that's why I said poop. I still, you know, it's the force-fed Roman Reigns thing, I think, that people, you know, are so up in arms about. Do you have Triple H retain and go into a program then with Dean Ambrose, or do you have Reigns win and, you know, probably piss off 95% of the audience that night?
I think you pull an audible. You have Triple H retain, because unless you have something magical planned going forward, I think at this juncture a Roman Reigns reign would be similar to a Diesel reign, and I think you would see business continue to fall off, because no, I don't want to say no one wants to see Reigns, but the crowd reactions to Reigns are not positive. And who knows, you know, maybe that's just because he's facing Triple H in the lead up to WrestleMania, and if he wins fans will be like, okay, whatever, we don't really care, and cheer him. Kind of, I call it the Randy Orton effect, where you finally just be like, well, we're going to get him, so we might as well cheer for him, because WWE is not going to listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I just read a recap of Raw this week, because I watched the first hour and was bored out of my mind and turned it off. But I read that, you know, Stephanie came out, said Triple H wasn't there. Roman Reigns came down, stopped Stephanie from slapping him, and was like, I'm the authority now. And it was short and to the point and relatively harmless. But then Triple H shows up later to pick Stephanie up, which, going back to the logic of why would Stephanie be leaving Raw while Raw was on the air when she's – anyway. And while he's sitting in the car, Roman came and attacked Triple H and pulled him out of the car and, you know, whatever. But it's like, that's a heel move. That is not what a face does. And this, I think, is one of the biggest problems with WWE is – their faces do not act like faces. Their heels do not act like heels. It's flipped. And so the crowd reactions actually play into, I think, a little bit of people that are supposed to be cheered aren't being cheered, and the people that are supposed to be booed aren't being booed, because their actions dictates the opposite reaction.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that dates back to the Hogan era when, you know, Jesse Ventura would point that out. You know, Hogan scratching somebody's eyes, or, you know, close fist punches or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I don't understand the whole Roman Reigns, you know. Do you think it would have been better for them to just let him have the championship when he first won it from Sheamus and hold on to it for a bit and try to get that fan base going? Or was it too late even for that?
I think it was too late. I think it was too late in the fact that they just tried to push him as the guy, and And all of last year, the fans were like, no, they weren't taken to him like they took to Seth Rollins, like they've taken Dean Ambrose. It's like, it is very similar to, I think, a Diesel situation where, you know, after Diesel won the title, Diesel came in as the muscle for Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
He was just kind of the silent guy that would, you know, kick ass when needed. That was Reigns' role in the Shield. And then when the Shield broke off and he became, like, you know, the go-to guy that they're going to push, and he started delivering, like, comedy promos, you know, his Suffer and Succotash lines and all this stuff. And it's kind of like when Diesel lost the title to Bret Hart, and he came out the next night, and, you know, he's like, you know, the corporate machine tried to make me what I wasn't, and I was high-fiving fans and doing all that. They've taken what made people like about Reigns and turned him into kind of a mini John Cena-esque type character.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans are so over John Cena that they want somebody new, but they don't want another version of John Cena. Yeah.
Yes. He needs to be Roman Reigns and not John Cena or anyone else. Right.
And so I think I think if they had not pushed him to the title, kind of retooled him a bit, and you don't have to turn him heel at that time. Just have him go back kind of to being what he was, and which is kind of like a more frequent appearing Brock Lesnar type.
Mm-hmm.
And I think fans would have gotten into him, but at the point when they gave him the title, I think, unfortunately, partly due to injuries, but I think when they decided to put the title on Reigns at the end of last year, they kind of backed themselves into a corner, because even if you had him remain champion through the Royal Rumble, where do you go leading into WrestleMania?
Right.
Because WrestleMania has always been really more about the chase and someone capturing the title at WrestleMania. That kind of makes it special and everything. And if he would have walked in as champ and walked out as champ, again, who are you going to put him up against that would have been a compelling storyline?
Yeah, I think in hindsight, maybe having, you know, obviously the injury thing couldn't be avoided with Seth Rollins. Having Triple H enter that tournament and win the title at Survivor Series then lead us up to WrestleMania now.
Yeah. And it's also after he won the title, Sheamus came out and beat him, and the authority was kind of like, you know, we don't want him to be champion. We're going to stack the deck against him at the Royal Rumble. We're going to make sure that he doesn't win the Royal Rumble. You have Triple H come out, and then the next night they're like, okay, Roman Reigns, we're going to put you in a match where if you win, then you get a shot at the title. It's the storytelling is so inept right now that I don't want to be like critical internet wrestling fan who just craps over everything, but these are so basic storytelling elements that are being, you know, just it's so. I don't see how a functioning company that's been around for 30 years cannot look at the product and be like, oh, these are the points where we're messing up. And I'm not saying like you're going to change everything in 1 week. You know, it's going to be a multi-month process, but it's just the little details. It's very Vince Russo booking.
Yeah. Well, and the other factor here to me is Dean Ambrose, and he is taking on Brock Lesnar now in this no holds barred street fight. I think Dean Ambrose is kind of, I'm trying to compare his rise to somebody.
Well, I'll tell you right now. Roman Reigns is Rocky Maivia. Dean Ambrose is Stone Cold.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
And Seth Rollins is Mankind.
Wow.
I don't know. It's the only other name that I could throw in there. But,
sure.
Dean is the unhinged, doesn't care, willing to do anything to get what he wants type, which is what Stone Cold kind of was. And Roman Reigns is the guy that, you know, Rocky Maivia was the guy that they're like, this is going to be the next big star. You're going to like him. And the guy's like, no. And that's where, and I think that's why everybody wants a Roman Reigns heel turn, because they want him, either blatantly or subconsciously, want him just to follow The Rock's footsteps, which I think is also a could potentially be a bad thing, and you could hinder Reigns' future growth by just making him Rock 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to find his own identity.
And, you know, to me, it's a no-brainer. Dean Ambrose has to win against Lesnar, and I think the fact that it's a street fight...
Does he, though? Because, I mean, if we're using the Stone Cold analogy, and granted, I think Dean is already further along in the fans' eyes than Stone Cold was at WrestleMania 13. But remember, that's the match that kind of made... that kind of set him on the path to the title, and he lost that match.
That's true, but I guess it comes down to how if Ambrose loses, it comes down to how he loses, because Austin, yeah. Even though he technically lost, he didn't lose because he never officially tapped out. So
yeah.
if they package it the right way, then I'm fine with the Dean Ambrose loss, but I just figure because we're giving, you know, we're doing the barbed wire baseball bat, and we're doing, you know, all these other, you know, hardcore kind of elements, that it makes it okay for Lesnar to lose that kind of match, if you know what I mean.
True, and hopefully, you know, Ambrose brings the chainsaw that he got from Terry Funk on Monday to the ring, because that would be interesting.
Do you think Al Snow will give him head on this upcoming Raw? Sorry.
Yeah, well, I think Dixie Carter would appreciate that, but probably not. But yeah, no, I can see Brock just pummeling, you know, the tar out of Ambrose, and Ambrose just keep coming back and be like, "Thank you, can I have another? Thank you, can I have another?" And I mean, it's kind of what made Tommy Dreamer popular in ECW originally, when he took all the Singapore cane shots from Sandman,
yeah,
and didn't back down. It's, I think if he does that, then yes, the fans are going to get even more behind him, because like, oh, this guy doesn't quit. But at the same time, if Lesnar loses, and I think Lesnar's appeal is on its downward slide.
Yeah.
At least to me, because ever since the Suplex City became a thing, that's pretty much all Lesnar matches are now just excuses to watch suplex after suplex. His matches don't have the same flow that they used to. He's becoming a gimmick.
Yeah.
So, and who knows where Lesnar goes after this, you know, who knows when he's next scheduled to be around, which also hinders, like, which way do you go with the match? Because you would think that this match would lead into something afterwards. You know, you're not going to have Ambrose go back to feuding with, you know, Goldust, for example. You would hope that you'd keep him high on the card. So.
Right. And that's why I think if Triple H retains, they call the audible.
Yeah,
then I would have Ambrose in line for an actual. Because I think that's what the fans really want at this point, is a Dean Ambrose title run, quite honestly.
Oh, yeah. I think I'd have to map this out a little more, so I'm kind of speaking off the top of my head. I would have Triple H retain at Mania and lose to Dean Ambrose on Raw.
Monday night.
And on Monday night. And then set up Ambrose through the end of the year. And speculative speaking, maybe next year at WrestleMania, you do the Shield triple threat that everybody seems to want to see at some point. And then by then, maybe you've built up Roman Reigns enough to pass the title on to him. But I mean, I think right now a Reigns title run is dead in the water. Yeah. And I think a Ambrose title run could be a good launching point for probably not the next boom period of wrestling, but I think it'd be more interesting. But of course, you also have to get the authority off of television.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Intercontinental title match, I know, has been tweaked. The champion, Kevin Owens, defending now in a ladder match similar to last year's. WrestleMania matchup. This will involve Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder, Sin Cara, The Miz, and Stardust. No disrespect to half of those guys, but this is what happens when half of your card is half your roster is on the DL.
Yeah.
My boy Neville, hurting himself a couple weeks ago against Jericho, was I guess rumored to be a part of this match as well. You know, we're missing guys like Cesaro still, Randy Orton, Rollins, of course, John Cena. So, and I think it's great that Zack Ryder, you know, I like Zack Ryder a lot. Broski of the Week, episode 22, cheap plug. But, you know, how many more multi-man intercontinental ladder matches are we going to get at WrestleMania? I would have rather this been Owens versus Zayn, quite honestly.
Yeah, I think they had, and I can see them holding off Owens and Zayn and trying to make that a bigger build. And I can see that. I can see those two being, since we're using analogies from the Attitude Era on this episode, kind of a Rock Triple H situation where these two guys feud over the secondary title for a while, and then in a couple of years we'll be feuding over the main title.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they also need to give Zayn character. You know, I think we've discussed this before in the past, where there's a disconnect between the NXT presentation and the main roster presentation. And right now, if I don't watch NXT, why do I care about Sami Zayn?
Right. That's true.
So I think that can be better. And to me, the biggest problem with this is on the other side of the secondary title picture, you've got Ryback facing Kalisto.
Yeah.
Now, to probably the majority of the fans that are going to be in AT&T Stadium, would you rather see a one-on-one match between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, or a one-on-one match between Ryback and Kalisto?
Exactly.
And I think what could if they would have made the U.S. title match the ladder match, and thrown Stardust and Zack Ryder and those guys in there, like, okay, great, give them something to do for a title that hasn't had much precedence over since John Cena went out,
yeah,
or lost. But it also would add in that factor of if you put Kalisto and Sin Cara in the match together, not that anybody's probably going to care that much, but at least it would add some intrigue as, oh, is Sin Cara going to, you know, try to take the title from his tag team partner? Is Kalisto, are they going to work together? Is there going to be tension? What? But you're putting Sin Cara in the IC title, you're just like, why is Sin Cara in this match?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So who wins? I mean, to me, Owens or Zayn, you don't need these other guys in this match. Like you said, They should be in the U.S. title match. Who do you think is going to win this one?
I go Sin Cara wins, and then he and Kalisto have a unification match.
Okay, do I need to put my Gorilla Monsoon shirt on?
I would have Owens retain just because he hasn't had the title that long, and you kind of want to build up a meaningful title reign.
Yeah.
I
don't feel like Sami Zayn overcomes anything if he wins this match because as a fan, I'm not emotionally invested in him yet. Like you said, there's that disconnect. If you don't watch NXT, then who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, if you don't watch NXT and if you don't follow indie wrestling haven't followed it for the last 10 years, you don't know the history of Kevin Steen and El Generico. You don't understand why these two would be apparently have the hatred of each other that they have. It's just Michael Cole telling you they don't like each other.
Have they referenced El Generico at all?
I don't think so.
Okay,
not specifically.
Right.
I think they've hinted at Steen and Zayn having prior history.
I see.
Yeah. I can probably see The Miz winning just because it's WWE. So they'll be like, oh, let's give it to The Miz. No one will expect that. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you've got guys in there like Stardust hasn't done anything, which, you know, due to Cesaro being injured, because it looked like they were starting a program between those two. Ziggler has gone from, you know, the guy the fans desperately want to the guy the fans don't even think about anymore. It's so bad. So, and then Sin Cara hasn't done anything of note since coming back from injury. It's I would have been happy with just a Zayn Steen Miz triple threat, and not necessarily needing a ladder match. But I don't know if they're doing the ladder match gimmick because since they don't have Money in the Bank anymore, and they if it's a way to get more people on the show, or if it's chance for high spots, what the thinking is. But I think the way they handled the two secondary titles is bass backwards.
Yeah, and speaking of triple threats and championships, one area I think they've improved on is the Divas Championship, and Charlotte defends against Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. And I know that fans that watch NXT have seen these three go at it before. I think that this match has the potential to steal the show.
If they let them wrestle like it's an NXT show, most definitely.
Yeah, and that's going to be the key. You know, are they going to treat this like... and I didn't watch Roadblock, but I don't know how Natalya and Charlotte did. I don't know how they let them go on.
It was a good match until the generic distraction roll-up finish that plagues 90% of all WWE matches on television these days.
Yeah. I personally would like to see Charlotte retain. I like where they have kind of gone with her character. Of course, I love Nature Boy. So, you know, I'd like to see, and partly because, and I'm just being a jerk about it, I would like to see her title reign exceed Nikki Bella's. But I don't necessarily think that, you know, they have to constantly try to one-up the previous Divas champion either, like they've done over the last couple of runs with it. But honestly, any one of these three women walks out with the title, I'm happy. So it's how they let them perform.
How they present it, yeah.
It's how they let them go at it.
Yeah, I would go – I'm expecting Sasha to win, but I think Becky could use the win more.
Yes.
Because I think Sasha's already got that built-in fan base. And here's another example of the disconnect between NXT and the main roster. But I think Sasha has the fans already behind her that they will – continue with her. I think Becky still needs something. Becky's kind of hiding in the shadows right now.
Right.
And I think if you gave her the title and a meaningful run, it could help propel her into that next level as well. And then Charlotte is going to be Charlotte. But yeah, I think this definitely has match of the night contendership written all over it if they give it a decent amount of time and don't hinder them by WWE booking.
Yeah, I agree with that. And with the tag team titles, it's New Day versus the League of Nations. Is that going to be a 4-on-3 encounter? Do you know?
I do not know. I mean, I haven't seen anything that says otherwise. And, you know, this would have been the time, had they not already done this like a month ago, would have been the time to bring out like Mark Henry as a temporary member of New Day to even up the odds.
Mm-hmm.
But we've already seen that, so I don't know if that's the way to go.
And is again, it's for the championship, though, right, this match?
Yes, I believe so.
I love New Day. Is it time for a change? I don't know. I hope that they retain. I think that they continue to be some of the more entertaining aspects of WWE programming right now. League of Nations, I mean, there's talk that Wade Barrett is leaving, you know, later this summer. Rusev has been kind of off and on here lately since his injury and losing the U.S. title. So, and then Sheamus, I'm indifferent to most of the time. And, you know, I'm not as high on the League of Nations as I hoped I would be. I think on paper a while back, I was excited about this, but the implementation, I guess, has just not been there for me.
Yeah, I think I commented after after they formed, mm-hmm. if they would have kept Sheamus as champion and made this a group that, I don't want to compare him to the Horsemen because that's a generic. This is probably going to be a really bad comment. You may want to edit it out of the show. But comparing any stable to the Horsemen is like comparing any politician to Hitler. It's like the generic go-to comparison.
I'm not going to edit that out. I'm fine with that.
Okay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You sure. Try to say, like it's when you don't want to think about what you're saying, that's just your go-to
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And so I think the League of Nations, had they built them up to be a proper stable, could have been something meaningful. Even though I don't, you know, Del Rio, I've never cared about. Sheamus, maybe like 15% of the time that he's been in WWE, I've been interested in what he's doing. I like Rusev and I like Barrett. But these guys could have been something, but instead they're just there. What have they done? Why should I care about them? And to me, New Day is, well, entertaining. They're starting. I think they're starting to be on that cusp of either overexposure or parodying themselves.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because I'm old and the booty thing just doesn't resonate with me. Like, I don't care about booty-os.
Yeah.
Like, this is a match that I can't see League of Nations winning, because other than having four guys as tag team champions, to see what they do with it, I am hoping that New Day has a surprise fourth member, even if it is Mark Henry or, you know, Apollo Crews making the jump from NXT. Or if Booker T comes out, actually it should be Stevie Ray, since they're all about booty-os and he's all about that fruit booty, you know. I don't know. I think this is a match that will not be as. I think the crowd's going to be into it because of New Day, yeah. But I hope that it's. I'm going to have to say that. Hopefully, this match goes maybe 7 minutes tops, and I hate putting time limit on times, but I think the shorter it goes, the better it will be.
Yeah.
And real quick, remember like a month ago when The Rock showed up on Raw and smack talked New Day, and everybody's right. Like, oh, we're gonna get New Day versus The Rock and the Usos at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Good times.
I honestly, and I know you're probably going to disagree with me, I would rather see that than this tag team title match and then the fact that the Usos and the Dudleys, I guess, are doing the pre-show.
If it means The Rock wouldn't get a microphone for 15 minutes, then yeah, I'd be all for that. And the Usos and Dudleys, like, that's another match, like, where... maybe it's because I don't like the Usos or care about the Usos, but the Dudleys have been duds since coming back to WWE.
Right.
Like Bully Ray was one of the best things about TNA for the last couple of years, and now the Dudley Boys are just another tag team. And I was actually reading a comment today about Raw on Monday, which was in Philadelphia, and the Dudley Boys came out and they said the crowd was silent. You know, that's
wow.
ECW hometown, ECW originals, and the crowd doesn't care. Which, granted, it has been 15 years since ECW went out of business, and maybe fans have finally let it go. But still, like, the Dudleys have just not been that, you know, they had that, like, three-month feud with New Day, and then they haven't done anything since then. Yeah. So, and Usos are just the Usos, so...
Well, and I think I know how you feel about, and this is actually the only singles match that isn't for a championship or some kind of special stipulation added to it, and that's Chris Jericho versus AJ Styles. Do we need this match? I would have rather seen Styles in the Intercontinental title match, personally.
Yeah, I would rather see Styles do anything except have another match with Chris Jericho. As I posted on the My 123 Cents Facebook page a couple weeks ago, the Jericho-Styles storyline is like, it's ADD theater. It's mm-hmm. a storyline that could have ran for a good 9 to 12 months, truncated into 6 weeks. You know, it's the brash, quote-unquote, newcomer, rookie, coming in, and the veteran being like, oh, you have to prove yourself. They feud, then they team up. He's like, okay, you earned my respect. Let's team up and try to be tag team champions. And then that lasted, what, 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. And then Jericho turns, and he's like, no, I'm mad because I'm old. Fans like the new thing, and I'm still using catchphrases from 1999. Why don't the fans like me anymore? Just because half these fans weren't even born when I was cool. And it's like,
we need to get puppets. I think you can't do animation. We need to get puppets and start an online puppet show, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is about this, but today. But yeah, no, this feud means nothing. Who cares who wins? Styles has already beaten Jericho, so either Styles wins again, and you're like, oh, okay, he beat Jericho again, or Jericho wins, and you're like, oh, Styles can't win on the big show, and he's just this, internet sensation, and no, he should go back to Orlando and wrestle in front of 100 people. And we told you that he was nobody because it's, I don't know. But speaking of this, because I don't really have anything else to say about this match, have you watched the Edge and Christian show?
I need to. I have not watched it yet. I will watch it before I get to Dallas.
Okay, well, I'm going to spoil something.
Sure.
Because they have a segment. It's on, I believe it's on this episode 4, the spring break episode.
Okay.
Where they have an interview or a little segment with AJ Styles. And it's called, Will WWE Talk About It? And AJ Styles is like, will they talk about the group that I was a part of in Japan? And they're like, oh, the Bullet Club. And they're like, oh, yeah, they'll talk about Bullet Club. And it's like, will they talk about the company that I wrestled for from 2002 through 2015? And it's like crickets. And like, nope, we don't know what you're talking about. And then it flashes a picture up of Test and Albert and Trish and stamps it T and A.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. And the Edge and Christian show actually is quite entertaining. So I highly recommend it.
Well, I'll check it out. Two more matches I want to throw out there. The other Divas match of the night, which, full disclosure, I don't have USA on my cable or satellite package anymore. Sometimes I watch the highlights, though, from Raw on the network. But I don't get the whole Divas thing. Now it's Brie Bella, Alicia Fox, Natalya, and Paige, which I thought at one point they were all fighting each other, taking on Lana, Naomi, Tamina, and Emma, which Emma, of course, is on NXT now. I like Emma. I like her a lot. Has Lana wrestled yet?
She has not.
Okay, so this will be her in-ring debut, I guess.
Yes, and I believe Emma made her return to the main roster on Main Event this week, which should tell you how much this match should care to WWE fans.
Gotcha. So, I guess that one is what it is. Yeah. I'm glad to see Natalya getting a little love, though, because I do think she, of the eight women in this match, is obviously the most talented of that batch. Not that I'm saying any of the others are not talented, but Natalya, I think, has been sorely misused over her.
I wonder if this is any indication that Lana and or Emma may be joining the cast of Total Divas for next season. Because this is a Total Divas match.
Oh, yeah. Total. Is Tamina on Total Divas? I don't watch it.
I don't. Sure. Yes. Maybe. Okay. I don't know. I think I saw 30 seconds of a show one time, and I was like, brain cells die. Turn it off quickly. Yeah. It's kind of sad to see how far Paige has fallen.
Yeah.
In the Diva Revolution.
Yeah. But
after seeing her on Tough Enough, I think, I don't know, at least me, my opinion of her has fallen because she just came off as annoying and whatnot. Anyway, yeah, this match, If it's on the main show, does it say if this is going to be a pre-show match or
main show? It says just lower card / pre-show. I'm on another website. I'm just kind of scrolling through it. So I would assume that it will be part of the pre-show. With the Usos.
I mean, I would put this between what I'm guessing would be between Triple H and Roman Reigns and the Hell in the Cell. This would be your cool-off match. Because I believe the pre-show will be the Dudleys and then the Andre the Giant 30-man Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, let's talk about that.
All right.
Does it mean anything? Obviously WrestleMania has had Battle Royals before. They're honoring the legacy of Andre the Giant, which I think is cool because, you know, I liked Andre. But I feel like, you know, it has become just a... Who's left over? Let's throw him in the battle royal.
Yeah,
and then nothing happens with the winner.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I guess on Raw this week, Big Show came out and said winning was like a big honor to him, and he was going to do it again. So maybe if they bring it, what's that?
In honor of his father.
In honor of his father. Yeah. So maybe if they bring it down to him and someone else, and someone else wins, like it can maybe catapult a storyline going forward, but the IC match has 7 people in it. This match has 30. Where are they getting the 30 people from, given all the injuries and other than having people that like Fandango, who showed up on Raw this week after being in exile for 2 years? Like, if there, I don't know, are there people like hanging around that we've completely forgotten about that they're going to be able to put into this match?
Well, you've got David Otunga, but you also can't discount drawing from NXT, maybe having some of the NXT guys.
Possibly.
I don't know.
Yeah, because
and is it for sure 30 man?
I believe so.
Was it 30 last year?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, given all the injuries, and then now, you know, the rumors that Bray Wyatt has a back injury that I would assume is going to keep him out of WrestleMania since he hasn't been announced for anything. There's rumors that Luke Harper tore his ACL on Raw or after Raw Monday night, so he could be out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be curious to see who is in this Battle Royal.
And I've heard speculation that they would put Bray into this because he could
take a bump and just.
Yeah.
Go out quickly, yeah. And that's true. I mean, that's a possibility. Or, you know, I'm sure Foley is going to be in Texas, so they can do all 4 faces of Foley. So there's 4 guys.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, we mentioned NXT, but, you know, we got a better showing of NXT at the Royal Rumble. Maybe they use some of the legends for the Battle Royal. I don't know.
Well, it'll be interesting, to say the least.
Well, we're gonna wrap this up here in just a second. I'm clicked on the WWE's official website to see if they've got any names. I know, like, you've got the Social Outcast, obviously, that that group. You could throw 4 of those guys in there.
Big Show.
Then, you know, you officially announced it is the Social Outcast, Kane, and the Big Show. So you have 6 names.
Awesome. 1 week to go.
Who have been entered into the Battle Royal. And I'm looking to see now if it's... this just says it's the 3rd annual Under the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. It doesn't say anything about how many. And maybe they're keeping it ambiguous like that because they don't know.
They don't know, yeah. They're like, it's the 13-man Battle Royal. Cool.
So... let's kind of put a bow on all this. We're obviously going to be in Dallas for Access, NXT, Raw, and WrestleMania, whatever,
and the Hall of Fame,
and maybe other things that come our way. But as we look forward to the weekend, is there one thing that's standing out to you? What are you looking most forward to about the weekend?
I'm looking to the one thing that we have not touched on, and that is NXT.
Yeah.
I don't know what the full card is. I know it's Samoa Joe versus Finn Balor for the title. Austin Aries, I believe, makes his NXT actual in-ring debut against Baron Corbin. Sami Zayn is going to face Nakamura, making his NXT debut. I think Bayley is facing Oksana.
Yeah.
And then American Able, is that what they're called? American Able is taking on the Revival for the tag title. So actually, that's five matches that either all the weakest of that match is probably top 10% of better than what's going to be in WrestleMania. So
this is true.
Yeah, unfortunately. So I'm curious to see that show. I'm curious to see how the crowd reaction is and how that reaction spills over into WrestleMania. I'm hoping that there's some new stuff at Access to check out. And other than that, I am looking forward to going back to Redneck Heaven for pre-lunch or pre-Mania lunch and taking you there for your first time and you being like, this is the greatest place ever. Why don't we have one of these where I live?
All right. Well,
that's great.
We'll do that, and we will be heading to Access Thursday night when I get into town. We'll have updates. I did figure out Facebook Live, too, so we can do some Facebook Live maybe from the My123Cents Facebook page if you guys want to check that out and click like. And we'll do some other things for the podcast during Mania Weekend as well. Anything else you want to say before we say goodbye?
I cannot wait to get to Texas where it is not freezing cold. So I will looking forward to that.
Me too. So I will see you Thursday. And folks, we'll see you again here next week on My123Cents, the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.